Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Age of Radio.
What's going on, everybody? We are back. This is episode 224 of the Dark Windows podcast. I am Kevin.
I'm Kevin as well.
And he's sick, so he's got should we let everybody know what's going on?
I'm having a baby.
He's been to the doctors and stuff, and it turns out that he has a tummy ache.
Yes.
And a headache.
No, so, I'm more than that. But...
No, migraine and a tummy ache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, yeah.
It's a super tummy ache is technically the scientific term for it, you know.
Yes, that's what we're going to call, that's I think that's
or if it's German, uber belly aching.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 They didn't use Koenig's belly aching because they didn't say king belly. I mean,
no, it's not a king belly ache.
No, it was just an uber.
Uber belly aching, super belly ache, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, what you got?
So for this episode, for this first episode, I should say, of 2023, I was trying to figure out something to cover, and I was thinking about doing a crime, but I couldn't settle on a topic. I tried. I failed. Because I just was like...
Shocking.
Well, no, it's just the fact that there wasn't the ones I wanted to cover, there just wasn't enough information.
Fair.
You know, that I could find readily accessible
right
on the interweb.
Yeah.
So, and one of them actually was a local guy that, well, two local guys actually. One was actually the last to die at a prison that Kevin actually talked about a while ago about a lady in Windsor. About,
oh, Jesus. That was on Patreon too, so.
Yeah. This guy was actually the last one killed by electrocution in Vermont.
Nice.
Question
is, did he deserve it?
Yeah, he deserved it. He did. I couldn't find enough on him. I found mostly on his escape.
Right.
And not on why he went to prison to begin with. So I was like, well, you need to know that too. Why he got put into prison and then why he escaped and then why he... then was given the electric chair when he had just, like, what was it, 30 years to life or something like that he was given, I think.
Right.
So I decided then to start looking in some military paranormal stuff because kind of Kevin, for his Patreon, kind of went, I think it was your Patreon, right? It was your Patreon. This past Patreon?
Oh, I don't remember. Maybe.
Okay.
Hold on.
Well, we're going to say it was. He did a paranormal thing for it. And I was like, you know, that'd be kind of interesting to look into, see if there's any more
there's tons of it.
Yeah. Well, there was.
Yeah, the Haditha Dam is what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Semi-paranormal, semi-biblical.
Yeah. So
speaking of biblical, we had a fucking Pope die and nobody knew about it because a football player got hurt.
What?
The fucking Nazi Pope died yesterday, day before yesterday. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. The fucking Pope kicked the bucket, but a football player got banged up and people were like, oh no.
Oh, the one that was forced to abdicate?
Yeah, the Nazi one, yeah.
Oh. Well, he wasn't forced to. He chose to.
Yeah, because he was like... really, really into covering up, like, the child abuse and stuff. It was kind of his thing, you know.
Well, I'm sorry.
I'm not really. Fuck him.
I'm really not.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I started looking into some military paranormal, and I stumbled upon some interesting events that happened during different points.
It's not worth crying over spilled popes.
No, it's not.
Nope.
Yeah, I was trying to clump stuff back. So the first one that I came across was the disappearance of a fighter squadron. So it began as nothing more than a routine training flight at 2 p.m. on December 5th of 1945.
Mm-hmm.
Five TBM Avenger torpedo bombers took off from a naval air station in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Yeah, guess which direction they went.
The planes, collectively known as Flight 19, were scheduled to tackle a three-hour exercise known as Navigation Problem Number 1. Their triangular flight plan called for them to head east from Florida, okay, and then conduct bombing runs at a place called Hens and Chickens Shoals.
You fucking made that up.
No. Nope.
Hens and Chickens sounds like a fucking, like a cracker. You know, like the chicken and the biscuit ones that are really, really goddamn good. You don't even need anything with them.
Where do you think they got the name from?
I don't know. From these planes that flew into the...
They didn't want to make it Hens and Chickens biscuits. They were like, that's too long. Well,
no, because bad shit's about to happen.
So they just decided to call it chickens. Because they were like, well, what about cocks? What about roosters?
Nobody wants to eat cocks out of a box, man.
Well, we can't call it Hens and Cocks biscuits, so we'll call it... And we don't want to leave... We don't want to leave out, you know, the... We don't want to seclude the roosters from this. So we'll just call it chicken and biscuits.
Or just call it box of cocks.
Ooh, that's even better.
So the isosceles triangle here.
Yeah. So they would then, so once they get to the Hens and Chicken Shoals, they would then turn north and proceed over Grand Bahama Island before changing course a third time and flying southwest back to the base. Save for one airplane that only carried two men, each of the Avengers was crewed by three Navy men and or Marines, most of whom had logged over 300 hours in the air.
Yep.
The flight leader was Lieutenant Charles C. Taylor, an experienced pilot and veteran of several combat missions in World War II Pacific Theater. At first, Flight 19's hop proceeded just smooth. And just as like they had done the previous days, Taylor and his pilots buzzed over Hens and Chickens shoals around 2:30 p.m. and dropped their practice bombs without incident. But shortly after the patrol turned north for the second leg of the journey, something very strange happened. For reasons that are still unclear, Taylor became convinced that his Avengers compass was malfunctioning and that his planes had been flying in the wrong direction. The troubles only mounted after a front blew in and brought rain, gusting winds, and heavy cloud cover. Flight 19 became hopelessly disoriented. "I don't know where we are, one of the pilots said over the radio. "We must have got lost after that last turn," Lieutenant Robert F. Fox, another flight instructor who was flying near the Florida coast.
"I went right at that fork in the air where I was supposed to go left. Whoops."
He said over the radio communications. He immediately informed their air station of the situation and then contacted the Avengers to ask if they needed assistance. "Both my compasses are out, and I'm trying to find Fort Lauderdale, Florida," Taylor said, his voice sounding anxious. I'm over land, but it's broken. I'm sure I'm in the Keys, but I don't know how far down." Taylor's claim didn't seem to make sense. He'd made his scheduled pass over Hens and Chickens Shoals in the Bahamas less than an hour earlier, but he now believed his planes had somehow drifted hundreds of miles off course and ended up in the Florida Keys. The 27-year-old had just transferred to Fort Lauderdale from Miami, and many had since speculated that he may have confused some of the islands of the Bahamas, off the Bahamas, for the Keys.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Under normal circumstances, pilots lost in the Atlantic were supposed to point their airplanes toward the setting sun and fly west toward the mainland.
Yes, because we've already pointed our planes at the rising sun once. Yes. That worked out very well.
It did.
So, I mean, not so much for them, but...
But for us,
fucking, we gave it to him.
But Taylor had become convinced that he might be over the Gulf of Mexico, which is not anywhere near close to
negative
that area.
No, it's on the other side of the state.
Completely.
Yeah.
And over quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, from Fort Lauderdale, you'd have to go like the width of the penis end of the state, and then you're in the Gulf, but you're still the width of the fucking state away.
I think it's actually even further. I think it's actually, it's below Texas. Because
the Gulf of Mexico comes up on that side, I thought.
No, it only goes so far, because that's
Well, what the fuck is that out there, tickling the nutsack of Florida, then?
Because that's,
No, dude, that's the whole last Gulf of Mexico, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's like the whole last thing.
No. Look. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
all
right.
It's all good. I was like, wait a minute. I thought it was. But, yeah, because technically they're in the Caribbean Sea. Actually, no, they're not. They're in the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah. The Caribbean's down below.
If we could keep the fucking borders of these oceans a little bit more secure, we would know who's coming and going and where the borders actually are.
Yeah.
But instead, we're sending money to Ukraine instead of, protecting the borders of our seas.
Sure.
Dividing them, like they should be.
Nobody owns
them. Build the wall.
Nobody owns them. Anyway, so they're over the Gulf of Mexico.
There should at least be fucking buoys to delineate which is which. That's all I'm saying. That's like $150. Figure your shit out.
I have no response for that because because
there's no correct answer for why we're not doing it.
No, because it wouldn't work. I hate to tell you.
I'm all about border security, and I just want to know where these fucking lakes at.
Well, I'm going to tell you this much. It would shrink and then
go back. That's fine.
Shrink and go back because...
Just like the borders of countries in Africa.
And
they
then
change.
The border of the goddamn, of Gulf of Mexico would be actually... The fucking
No. Listen. If there's one thing we need to keep an eye on, it's the Gulf of Mexico. We can't be having that water coming over here because it's not sending its best water. It's sending all its criminals and rapists.
Well, listen.
And the water, of course.
Well, the Gulf of Mexico borders, our states.
Yeah, so does the Mexican border. Same thing.
It does.
Water border. We need to build a moat.
I mean, only a couple states, but not.
Build the moat. Build the moat.
We're not going to do that.
Fill it with alligators.
Okay.
Cocaine.
All right. Anything else?
Nope.
Hash?
We want them fucked up, so we're going to put them on...
Meth?
No. Well, meth gators are already happening in Florida. They have
speed.
They have meth hogs in Florida, too.
Oh.
There was a wild boar somewhere like up in the panhandle that got into a meth lab and went fucking ballistic.
Oh, they don't need much.
It's like... It's kind of like the cocaine bear, but different, because it's a wild boar, which already have bad attitudes, so...
So, hoping to locate the Florida Peninsula,
he made
a fatal decision to steer Flight 19 northeast, a course that would only take them even farther out to sea. Some of his pilots seemed to have recognized that he was making a mistake. Damn it, one man gripped the radio. If we would just fly west, we would get home.
Yeah.
Yeah, Taylor was eventually persuaded to turn around and head west, but shortly after 6 p.m., he seems to have canceled the order and once again changed direction. We didn't go far enough east, he said, still worried that he might be in the Gulf. We may as well just turn around and go east again. His pilots urged against the decision. Some investigators even believe that one plane broke off and flew in a different direction, but most followed their commander's lead. Flight 19's radio transmission soon became increasingly faint as it meandered totally out to sea. When fuel began to run low, Taylor was heard prepping his men for a potential crash landing in the ocean. All planes close up tight, he said. We'll have to ditch unless we landfall. When the first plane drops below 10 gallons, we all go down together. A few minutes later, the Avengers' last radio communications were replaced by an eerie buzz of static. Immediately, the Navy scrambled search planes to hunt for the missing patrol.
Well, that's a terrible idea. These ones already fucking crashed. Like,
well, that's what you do. Yeah. Around 7:30 p.m., a pair of PBM Mariner flying boats took off from an air station north of Fort Lauderdale. Just 20 minutes later, however, one of them seemed to follow Flight 19's lead by suddenly vanishing off radar. The remains of the Mariner and its 13 crewmen were never recovered, but it's commonly believed that the seaplane exploded shortly after takeoff. Flying boats were notoriously accidental prone.
Yeah, they were kind of dog shit. Yeah. They weren't real good for anything.
They were nicknamed flying gas tanks for their propensity for catching fire. Suspicions that the seaplane may have gone up in flames were all but confirmed by a passing merchant ship, which spotted a fireball and found evidence of a oil slick in the ocean. Yeah. At first light the next day, the Navy dispatched more than 300 boats and aircraft to look for the Flight 19 and the missing Mariner. The search party spent 5 days combing more than 300,000 square miles of territory to no avail. They just vanished. Navy Lieutenant David White later recalled, "We had thousands of planes out looking, and we searched over land and water for days, and nobody ever found the bodies or the debris." A Navy Board of Investigations was also left scratching their head. Well, it argued that Taylor might have confused the Bahamas for the Florida Keys after his compasses malfunctioned. Could find no clear explanation for why Flight 19 had to become disoriented.
Electric fog is a thing that happens there. There was a guy that flew from, I want to say it was like Bimini, who was flying back to Florida. And it's supposed to be like an hour and 20 minute flight. And he did it in like 42 minutes. And he has no fucking explanation why, except for the fact that when he was up in the air, he flew through what he thought was a cloud. And it was like, had this like weird greenish haze when he flew through it. And by the time he got out of the cloud, he was back on land. And according to his records, from the time he took off to the time he landed was like 25 minutes less than what the flight had taken him earlier that day from Florida to the island. Which is fucking wild. But yeah.
Yeah.
So weird shit happens there. People are like, oh, it's fake. No, it's not. Even if it's a fucking natural phenomena, weird shit happens there.
That's why they call it the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be paranormal. It's just a weird spot in the earth where crazy shit happens.
Because
there's one like that in the Sea of Japan also. It's like the Dragon's Triangle or some shit like that where the same shit happened. Like during World War II, stuff like that happened too. So it's a real thing, you know?
Yep. So the next one that I found, I didn't actually know anything about this until I was reading this, was actually surrounds Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
So it was November 22nd, 1941. The United States was on the eve of entering the escalating war that was raging across two oceans.
Yep.
On this particular November day, two innocuous ads appeared in the New Yorker. Okay. It's a magazine, if anybody doesn't know. It's a magazine in New York.
Yeah.
Well, which spreads out throughout the country. And there was an ad for a dice game simply called the Deadly Double.
Okay.
The advertisements were seemingly harmless and looked similar to many other ads that filled the newspapers and magazines of the time. So nobody gave them much thought. And certainly no one was aware at the time that these innocent ads would go on to become one of the most perplexing mysteries of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
The ads themselves at first glance seem to have a sort of strange design to them, but are fairly nondescript for the most part. The first ad, which was placed near the front page of the magazine, has an illustration of two dice depicting mid-tumble. On the visible faces of the die is written the numbers 0, 5, and 7.
Okay.
The other die shows the numbers 12, 24, and the Roman numeral XX, which is 20.
Yep.
Okay. The dice are positioned under a dramatic heading announcing a warning in a different language, which is actually German.
Hmm.
Achtung, warning, alert. At the bottom of the ad, the reader is encouraged to see the advertisement on page 86. And the bottom reads, Monarch Publishing Company, New York. It was a little odd that the dice would have the numbers that don't typically appear on regular dice.
Right.
But it didn't really raise any eyebrows at the time. When one follows the instructions and opens to page 86, the finder, they find another ad. And is more elaborate and appears to be the main ad, while the other is merely just a teaser. It has the same heading of Achtung, warning, alert, with another illustration showing an air raid in progress, and under that, a group of people huddling in an air raid shelter playing a dice game. At the very bottom is a stylized drawing of a double-headed eagle.
Yeah, the world's coming to an end. You gonna throw some fucking dice? Yeah, why not? Let's take your money one last time.
There is also some copy. There's also some copy written in the ad. The first says, "We hope you'll never have to spend a long winter's night in an air raid shelter, but we were just thinking it's only common sense to be prepared. If you're not too busy between now and Christmas, why not sit down and plan a list of things you'll want to have on hand? This is followed by a list of necessary items for an air raid." The list ends with another piece of copy which reads, "And though it's no time, really, to be thinking of what's fashionable, we bet that most of your friends will remember to include those intriguing dice and chips which make Chicago's favorite game, the Deadly Double."
I'm pretty sure nobody's going to be super concerned about putting your stupid fucking dice game in the air raid shelter. You know? Well,
16 days later, the Japanese would attack Pearl Harbor. Okay.
You know who put them up to it? Whoever these assholes are that made the dice games.
Yeah.
It's all a fucking ruse. We're pushing them numbers up.
Yeah.
We'll be the only dice on the market. And once the Japs attack, they got to buy our fucking dice, right? Because you have to have dice when you go underground to not be fucking stuck in an air raid, I guess.
Well, they just kind of
throw them out the window.
They just kind of, we're presuming that, hey, we're going to be in more, you know, which we hadn't actually. I mean, our president had been saying, no, now we're not going to war.
No, but my thing is, like, that's not usually a priority. To be like, yeah, shit. Oh, man, I got to run out and grab fucking the dice game.
How do we know?
What?
What's a priority or not?
Okay, well,
we've never had to have air raid shelters.
No, but put yourself in that situation where we're being attacked. Just in your own brain. People are falling from the sky. There's, you know, coming in to invade. And, you know, we're being bombed. And you're grabbing all your shit. And then one of your children's like, "No, Dad, I gotta go back in the house. I forgot the dice game." Like, no, motherfucker, sit down and shut up. We've got rice and beans and all this stuff. We're fine.
But the thing is though, once again, like I say, people at the time had no clue about that. We didn't get attacked during World War I. And there was a whole generation.
I think it's a common sense thing that would not be a priority.
But we wouldn't. Nobody knew what an air raid shelter was at the time. You know, I mean, this is a new made up thing.
So these people made up the concept of the air raid shelter. This company that made a dice game.
Well, it's kind of not really, because it was a thing over in Europe.
So it's like fucking Cards Against Humanity being like, "Hey, so have you heard about these cool things called radiation bunkers? Yeah, we came up with those too."
Yeah, well, we didn't actually come up with those, because guess what? We tell kids to fucking huddle underneath their goddamn desk.
No, because so, the radiation can't get you under there.
Yeah, I mean, then you're a fucking, you know, a black print on a fucking, on a ground.
Yeah, like I said, you know? Radiation, well, at least it's the heat that kills you, not the radiation. You know?
Well, right off.
And the pressure, because it's, that's, with explosions, most of it is internal damage due to pressure.
Well, like because, I said, like
the concussive blast will fucking liquefy your insides.
If you survive both of those, most likely the radiation's going to kill you.
Yeah, you're probably not going to survive that shit, though.
There's people that did in Japan.
Well, yeah, yes, I get that, but...
Who were in the direct bomb.
Yeah, like, we talked about one on Patreon that went through both of them. So...
I mean...
Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
Talk about some fucking bad luck. By the way, patreon.com/darkwindowspodcast, and you can go hear that. It's our bad luck episode.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, now, so this one's a little different from the others. This one...
I hope it's different from the last one.
Yeah.
this like with an ending and shit.
Yes, you have to actually wow. fucking talk about it.
Oh, my goodness.
Hold on, give me a second. I probably could fucking figure it out.
No, just fucking push forward.
So, okay. This one deals with witches. In the town of Highcliffe-on-Sea, the story goes, a secretive group of witches and spiritual seekers were
son of a bitch.
Resolved to do what they could do to defend their country.
Fucker.
It said they arranged to meet in an ancient forest between midnight and August 1st of 1940.
Want to know how I know that?
No.
Because I started the research for that episode already.
Oh, well, that's good.
Fuck.
The eve of...
I was going to finish it, too.
The eve of Lammas Day, a harvest festival in one of the greater Sabbats of the neo-pagan religion known as Wicca.
Yeah.
There they are said to have staged a magical assault on the mind of Adolf Hitler in distant Berlin by means of a ritual that became known by the mock military codename.
Can I say it? Can I say it?
No. Operation Cone of Power.
I said it anyway. Fuck you.
According to Gerald Gardner, Gerald.
Yeah, the founder of modern day Wicca.
Gardner.
Yeah.
The retired British civil servant who founded modern Wicca, as Kevin just said. The magical salt was based on secret knowledge passed down through generations of English witches. Gardner claimed that similar rituals were used in the 1940s against the Nazi leader by a secretive coven of witches who lived around Highcliffe. Witches did cast spells to stop Hitler landing after France fell, he wrote in Witchcraft Today. They raised the great cone of power and directed the thought at Hitler's brain. You cannot cross the sea.
That's how he got syphilis.
Yes.
From a bunch of witches.
Just as their great-grandfathers had done to Bonnie, and their remote forefathers had done to the Spanish Armada. I'm not saying that they stopped Hitler, Garner added. All I say is that I saw a very interesting ceremony performed with the intention of putting a certain idea into his mind, and though all the invasion barges were ready, the fact that was that Hitler never even tried to come. As they danced, their chants echoed the magical formula Gardner said had been used in the earlier ceremonies against the Armada and Napoleon, a psychological assault on the mind of Hitler that had hoped would weaken his resolve to invade England, which they didn't. So, I mean, you know, so they kind of, maybe they stopped it, maybe they didn't. You know?
There's another thought that, so the Nazis were on the Isle of Jersey, which we've mentioned before. We did the Beast of Jersey, because that's technically super close to England, but it's actually French controlled. But they had an invasion force ready to take off from there. And on the night that they did this ritual, the invasion boats were on their way across the channel, and they got hit with a fucking storm and they all turned around, which is another big thing where they're like, well, maybe they caused a storm with this that actually turned an invading force of Nazis away. But yeah, who knows?
This one is one that we both would be like, well, damn too. Because, well, it has to deal with about brothers. Okay. Meaning that we both have a brother, I have brothers. You have a brother.
Yep.
Okay. But it has to deal with, the battlefield during World War One.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A Canadian soldier named Will Bird was in a trench and he was awoken by the ghost of his brother. How would you like to have that?
I mean, it depends on the damn kind of day I'm having with my brother. I'm like, you know what? You motherfucker.
Well, the thing is...
It'd probably be weird, though, yeah.
Yeah, his brother had just died 2 years before. He says, quote, Steve grinned as he released my hands, then put his warm hand over my mouth and as I started to shout my happiness. He then said to me, get your gear.
Okay, so it's not like he just found out this is the way he found out his brother died, at least.
No.
You know, because that'd be a little bit more like, oh shit, my brother's dead apparently?
No, no, yeah. He had known.
So this, from it's what I'm guessing. not as upsetting.
No, but it's one of those things that we can relate to, you know, seeing your brother who had been dead for 2 years, you're thinking, holy shit. But, you know, because at this point he's probably thinking, well, he's not dead. You know, because he's like, he put his hand in my mouth.
Except he went to the funeral and shit like 2 years
before. He probably didn't, actually. He probably was in battle.
Yeah, true.
So I probably thought maybe he got lied to.
Surprise, I'm not actually dead.
So he then said, Will told him, said, hey, or Will's brother told him, get your gear.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told him to follow him. Moments later, in the shelter in which they had... he'd been sleeping, was hit by a shell.
Oh, shit.
I waited, scarcely breathing, for something. Waited, it seemed, minutes that could have only been seconds. Then it came, invisible, intangible, but nonetheless very small. Something came to the place of desolation, stopped a moment, and passed on again. He wrote to his mother. One Canadian infantryman, Glenn Irem, also described the otherworldly feeling of surveying a devastated battlefield. You could feel the pulse of thousands of dead with their pale hands protruding through the mud here and there and seeming to beckon you, he wrote in his memoir, In the Trenches. You could feel the presence of something not of this earth, akin to goblins. So yeah, so I mean, that would, to me, that would,
it'd be a little freaky.
Yeah, kind of a little bit freakish, but weird, same time.
Right.
But, you know, kind of a cool thing that, you know, that my brother came and saved me.
Yeah.
You know, somehow he knew something was going to happen and he pulled me out of it. And so our mother didn't have to have two kids.
Right.
Not like, what was the set of brothers? What was the brothers there?
Well, there's four of them. That was what Saving Private Ryan was based on.
Yeah, but it was more than that.
Sullivan was their last name. There was like four or five of them.
It was like five or six. But yeah. That wasn't the first time.
All fucking died.
No. That was based off of World War II.
Right. That was the last time it happened.
The first time it happened was World War I.
Probably happened in the Civil War.
Not World War. Civil War.
Yeah.
Where... all of the kids died.
Yeah.
And Adolf.
Nazi on the brain.
Yeah. Abraham Lincoln had to write to home to the mother.
Yeah.
You know, hey, sorry. So after that, they said, hey, you know, you can't go into war. Like, so say, you guys.
Yeah, there was a bill.
Yeah, you guys, like, so say you and your brothers, if you were both in.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't stop you from joining the military. But
we couldn't serve together.
You can't
serve in the same branch or some shit like that.
No, you can't serve in the same war together. You can't serve in the same war.
You can. You just can't be in the same unit or some shit.
No, because you can't go to war and then be dead. You can't go to war and die, okay? And then say, like, your brother go to war and then die. They don't want that. They want to have it so that at least the name can pass on.
Well, yeah, but...
So that means that you go to war, your brother stays home, doesn't go to war.
I know guys that are in the military with a brother. They're just not in the same unit.
Yeah, but, the ones that Saving Private Ryan were based off of...
The Sullivans.
The Sullivans, they were in the same unit.
No, but they were in the same fucking
war.
Area.
They were in the same war. That's what they're just trying to prevent, is the same war.
They were fighting in the same theater. They were just in different units.
But they're trying to prevent a whole family from being wiped out. Because the name doesn't continue on. That's the thing, is they still want to be able to have your name carry on. You know, and it's not going to care. They realize, you know, hey, yeah, a woman is still part of the family. Yeah,
it's not the same, though.
But usually, the last name doesn't carry on.
Yes.
All right, well, here's the last one, okay? One final one. And this one's not like the others. This one deals with the Red Baron. I didn't know about this one.
You didn't know that Snoopy shot him down?
No.
Jesus Christ, dude, get your shit together.
Sorry.
Not finishing stories? You don't know shit about Snoopy?
I know,
right? This fucking sop with camel?
So, the famous and feared World War I German pilot known as Manfred Freiherr von Richthofen, or the Red Baron.
They had to change it to that because that first name doesn't fit on pizza box as well.
Well, he claimed to have shot down a UFO in 1917.
Probably.
Over Belgian trenches.
Hmm.
I didn't know this at all.
Huh.
It was said to have looked like an upside down saucer. A plate. Saucer, you know.
Yeah, the flying saucer comes from.
But it had orange lights.
Hmm.
Another ace pilot, Peter Vautrich, claimed to have witnessed the event as well and added that he saw two figures jump out of the crash aircraft and run into the trees.
One a dog, one a small yellow bird.
I had to be up front and foremost on this. I actually did try to look up more information on it because I was like, wait a minute. Okay, so he saw two beings or whatever, or two things jump out and run in the woods. So where's there more knowledge on this? And actually, I could not find anything else.
Else probably saw it.
No, I couldn't even find any more on him shooting it down. Like, it's like a blip.
Yeah.
In everything.
Because it's something we don't like to talk about now. You really think they were going to talk about it in 1917?
Yeah.
No fucking way.
Maybe.
You're high. No way.
I don't know. I'm optimistic.
No. There's a difference between optimistic and just like...
Shut up.
Delusional. And that's delusional to think
You're a delusional.
Well, we'll see about that. But, were they not going to talk about a fucking UFO being shot down at that point in time?
They might. Who knows?
We don't have fucking disclosure now. And people know that they're real. And we're just like, nah.
Mm.
Nah. You know.
Oh, well, yeah, we know. So anyway, so that's some more paranormal. I know we've done quite a bit of it, but I was like, hey, what the hell?
Yeah.
I know. So, yeah, as Kevin said, go over to patreon.com/darkwindowspodcast. Check us out. Give us $5. Listen to another episode, which we're going to record.
You can listen to many episodes.
Yes, we have a plethora.
A cornucopia of episodes and topics.
Cornucopia?
Yeah.
Why are you using the cornucopia word?
Because it's better than a plethora?
What do you mean?
A cornucopia is a basket. You can put the episodes in it.
Yeah, but a plethora is an amount.
That's just
a cornucopia is just a thing.
Yeah, you can put a plethora of shit in a cornucopia.
See?
So eat dicks.
Anyway. And then also go over to studio.com. Check us out. Well, not us out, but check their stuff out. They have earbuds, Bluetooth speaker, headsets.
Headphones.
Headphones, whatever. Headset, headphones, same thing. You can find what you want.
Yes.
Put it in your basket. Go to checkout. Put the promo code of DarkWindows15 to get 15% off your entire purchase. Also, do your social media stuff. Go over to wherever, you know, like Facebook, we're Dark Windows Podcast, and Instagram, we're Dark Windows Pod. We're also on Twitter,
sort of.
Also, rate, review, subscribe.
Yes.
On any platform that you listen to us on. And as Kevin always says, please listen to the complete episode.
Yes.
Even though you might go, oh my God, I don't want to.
Even though some of the shit might not have endings, listen to the fucking commercials.
You got it. And, you know.
Because that's how we make, I mean, making money is not exactly how I would put it, but that's how we're gently compensated for what we do.
And if, I mean, I know I'll get shit for it, so it's okay. You know, I know I'll get shit for however I do whatever stuff, but it's okay. It's fine. You know, I know you'll email us at darkwindowspod@gmail.com.
Give me your address so they can send a snail mail too.
You can, 855-65, yeah, something. That's not really what
it is. No, it's not. If fuckers want to send us stuff, like, message me and I will put it, I will give you an address to ship it to.
Yeah.
You know,
or
to an undisclosed location, you know.
Yes.
It's,
in the middle of nowhere.
Maybe not that far, but parts unknown.
Close.
You don't have to go to the middle of nowhere, you just have to go to parts unknown.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
You gotta fight the Ultimate Warrior, who's already dead, so it's fine. It's just his ghost, which is just a pile of cocaine and steroid needles. So, you kind of, like, go around it, I guess.
Be okay. Just don't
cocaine, steroid needles, and no wrestling talent is all it is.
Just don't step on the ghost needles.
Yeah, because you'll die.
Yeah,
you get whatever gave him a fucking heart attack. Herpes. The rocket fuel that he was using. Anyway, just because you can't see out into the dark doesn't mean that the dark can't see into you. Goodbye.
Yeah,
they can't see a wave. Come on.
Oh, bye.